Could Italy be the next stop on the European debt crisis train?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective. What's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world? Global markets are much lower again today. And in Italy, the cost to borrow money has shot up. Italy is one of the largest economies in Europe, and unlike other debt-laden countries before it, that has global investors a lot more worried about what will happen to the broader economy. John Weiss is an economist with the European School of Economics in Rome, and he's with us now. Hi, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. We've obviously been hearing a lot about Greece and Portugal and Spain and all these other countries. How did Italy become the issue now?
For a while, Italians used to think that they were out of the woods in terms of the crisis. They got assurances from the government in terms that they were not going to be facing a like situation that we're seeing in Greece. But right now, this has been changing the last couple of days as a result of the tumble that the market took and as a result of the extreme or some of the measures that the government has proposed.
We've heard a lot about too big to fail. Could Italy be too big to save? It's the third largest economy in the Eurozone, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the other thing that the Italians feel, that maybe since they are one of the founders of the European community and they're one of the largest countries, failure of Italy would mean the failure of the whole European currency and the whole European monetary system. But the main concern is not so much that Italy would get out, but how would Italy face a situation whereby the interest rates would go up and the gap between the Italian bonds and the German bonds would get wider? And if that was the case, to what extent can Italy endure it, right? I think that would be more of a concern before Italy getting out of the euro.
John Weiss, an economist at the European School of Economics in Rome. John, thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call.
Well, let's do the numbers. European shares are down right now, anywhere from 1% to 3%. Aluminum giant Alcoa said it made more than $300 million in the last quarter, more than doubling profit from the same quarter a year ago, and bolstered by higher aluminum and raw material prices. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost another 151 points to close at 12,505. Not only does the NBA face a lockout next season, but it may be on the verge of losing one of its biggest fan bases, China. That's because of the news that China's most famous basketball player, 7'6" Yao Ming, could retire. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
These are the courts Yao Ming grew up playing on. They're in a public park surrounded by the skyscrapers of downtown Shanghai. Rumors of Yao's retirement have 16-year-old player Lu Zhentao reminiscing.
He's the reason I picked up a ball in the first place. He's the reason everyone at the courts play basketball.
He's also the reason 30 million Chinese people watch the NBA each week. He's helped make China the biggest market for the NBA outside the U.S. The NBA is worth $2.3 billion here. In an online poll in China, 57% of those surveyed said they would no longer watch NBA games. Given the market here, that's a big deal. But basketball player Liu doesn't believe it.
I think it's hard for many Chinese to accept the fact that he's leaving the sport. But they'll come around. Older generations like Michael Jordan and my generation loves Yao. Real basketball fans will keep watching.
That's what the NBA is hoping. 300 million people play basketball in China. There is one more player in the NBA from China. Yi Jianlian plays for the Washington Wizards. But he doesn't have the household name status of Yao. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
At a conference in Tehran today, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad warned of plots by the U.S. and Israel during the Arab Spring, saying the two countries are looking after their own economic interests in the Muslim world. And the Muslim world is the subject of our globalist quiz today, specifically how vast that world is. Joining us now is our quizmaster, Stefan Richter from theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready for today's globalist quiz?
Indeed, I am.
So my question to you today is, where do most of the world's Muslims actually live?
Mm.
Is it A, in the Middle East and North Africa, much in the headlines these days,
mm-hmm.
B, in sub-Saharan Africa, C, in the Asia-Pacific region, or D, in Europe?
Mm. Where do most of the world's Muslims live? Well, all right. Obviously, the Middle East, North Africa, there are a lot of people of the Islamic faith in that region. So I'm going to go with the Middle East and North Africa.
Not quite. It's
not quite.
20% of all Muslims. It is 322 million Muslims
yeah.
who live there, but that accounts for 20% of the global population of Muslims.
All right. Then I'm going to say, because I know Indonesia is what the it has the most Muslims of any country in the world, right? So I'm going to say the Asia-Pacific region.
You're a brilliant man.
Oh,
you're
wow.
absolutely right.
Wow.
62% of all Muslims around the world live there. Most interestingly, you mentioned Indonesia as the largest one. Pakistan in that region ranks number two. But India has almost as many Muslims in its population at 177 million as has Pakistan with 178 million,
my.
According to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life.
That's a nice little tidbit to know. All right, Stefan, thank you so much. And Stefan Richter, we do appreciate your time.
And I appreciate your brilliance on that one today.
You bet. And finally, Czech car company Skoda is out with a new campaign asking people to test drive one of their cars and at the same time find a soulmate. It's launched a website which asks users to enter social network information, their likes and dislikes. Then Skoda matches those people and invites the pair to go on a test drive together. Maybe the two will fall in love, buy a Skoda, and ride off into the sunset. Or maybe they'll have nothing in common, fight over the climate control system, and buy a Peugeot instead. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If the economic future of a country is only as strong as the spirit of its entrepreneurs, then China is going to do just fine.
In the future, all women who buy the things in the internet will be our customer.
You're sure of that?
I'm sure of it.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Sky's the limit, a metaphor for the times. Our China series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.